Morning. Today's daf in Brachos is Mem Hey. We begin the seventh parak of the Masechta this morning. We are speaking about benching. The Masechta itself is super organized. We discussed this numerous times. The first five parakim of the Masechta have to do with Shema and Shemona Esrei. The sixth parak, which we just concluded yesterday, has to do with Bracha Rishona mostly and a little bit about Bracha Achrona. But then the seventh parak, which we're starting this morning, has to do with benching. And to say benching, we're talking about the bracha achrona for lechem, for bread. Reminder that we just finished a machlokas on the on the last mishnah of the sixth parak, that benching birchus hamazon is said over bread is one shita. There are other shitas. Other shitas say that you're going to be benching over any one of the shivas haminim. That's Rambam Gamliel. And then the most extreme version of the shita is Rabbi Akiva, who says that if you're going to be sitting down and you're going to have cabbage and that's going to be your meal, so that, in fact, you'd bench over that as well. Meanwhile, we do paskin like the Chachamim, that you do bench over bread and only over bread. And so this parak is dedicated to benching. Benching, obviously, is a bracha achrona, like many of the other bracha achronas. But meanwhile, when it comes to benching, there are basically two formats of benching, even though it's more or less the same. But nevertheless, there are two formats of benching. One format of benching is when you bench by yourself. Like any time that you're going to be eating, you have to make a bracha before and after. So by benching, you bench by yourself. But then there's another format of benching, and that's birchas hazimun. If you're eating with two other people, so it's three people in total, so there's an added feature, which is a birchas hazimun. In terms of the bracha, it's more or less the same. There's a little bit added in the front part. We're going to be speaking about that extensively. But this bracha, this birchas hamazon, however, is qualitatively a totally different type of birchas hamazon. It's now birchas hamazon that's said bezimun. You are now no longer saying it as an individual, but now you're saying it as a collective. It's similar to like davening with a minyan. When you're davening with a minyan, so the tefillah qualitatively is different. In other words, obviously there's a chiv to daven shmona esrei, but then when you're davening with nine other men, so that's a, now you're davening betzibur. And so qualitatively, it's a different tefillah. So you have the same basic idea when it comes to benching, that if you're benching with two other people, the number here is 3, not 10. And we'll see why the number is 3. That's coming up in the first part of the Gemara. So now it's a different type of benching. It's now what's called a birchas hazimun. Obviously, with birchas hazimun, so you add more at the front end. We'll talk more about that this morning. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Obviously, that becomes part and parcel of the discussion. When do you have to say birchas hazimun? When three people are eating together, does that mean they have to start their meal together? Does that mean they have to end their meal together? So interestingly enough, that very basic question is not discussed in the Gemara, not discussed in the Mishnah, not discussed in the Gemara. The Rishonim take up that topic. So if you're wondering when is there a chi of benching exactly, so we're just simply not going to see that in the Gemara. But that's obviously an important halachic discussion, which needs clarification. And as you can imagine, it's a debate amongst the Rishonim. When does the birchas hazimun actually kick in? Okay. With that stated, we begin with the Mishnah, Memhem and Aleph, Shosha Sha'achlu Kach, Chayim Lezamein. So three people eating together, there's a chiv to be mezamein. Lezamein means Rashi lehizdamein yachad. Now what we're going to do is we're going to invite each other letzirif bracha. So now we're going to be having a collective bracha. B'lashon Rabim, kigon nivarech. And like saying the word nevarech, right? We will break down the actual nusach of Zimun in terms of what's said. A slight differentiation between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. But in other words, but now we're making a collective benching when we are three people eating together. Now, next part of the Mishnah, really interesting because the Mishnah is going to talk about people who are eating food, but it's not under the OU. Now, back in the day, obviously, the OU is somewhat anachronistic. They didn't have the OU. But basically, it was food that was questionably kosher. Right? And so what the Mishnah now is going to be discussing, such an interesting part of the Mishnah, is that what would be the status of having him combined with us on Zimun if he's eating food that's, quasi-kosher. Now, quasi-kosher is a funny term, meaning, isn't it binary? It's kosher or not kosher. So where do we stand in the middle? So first of all, in our modern-day living, we have that all the time, where, you know, something is questionably kosher. Okay, but that has to do with a lot of subtle questions here and there. But you'll see, though, as we're going to be discussing the Mishnah now, we're going to be talking about things that are not 100% on the up and up. And can he be included in the Zimun that we're going to be eating together? And so basically what the Mishnah is going to teach us is anything on the border will be fine, but anything that is definitely not kosher, he cannot combined with us for the Zimun. And so the mission begins, Achodamai. Let's say, for example, we're talking about things that are on the border. So let's say Demai. So the person who's eating with us now brings in his sandwich, and where did he get it from? He's like, oh, this weed, the weed I purchased from an Am Haaretz. Oh, really? You probably purchased from an Am Haaretz. Did you take off Trumas HaMaisos again? There's a Chumar Midurabanan. We speak again and again over throughout Shas that whenever you buy Trumas HaMaisos, sorry, whenever you buy any produce from an Am Haaretz, you must take off Trumas HaMaisos again, even though the likelihood is that they did so. Nevertheless, the rabbis demanded that we do so again. This is what's called Demai. And he admits, nah, I didn't take off Trumas HaMaisos. Okay? So now he didn't comply with the Chumar Durabanan. Can he join our Zimun? The answer is going to be yes. Maaser Rishon Shenat La Trumaso. Or let's say, for example, you have a Levi joining us and he's bringing in his Maaser Rishon. Oh, very, very good. Did you take off Trumas Maaser? And he said, yes, I did. So he can combine with us. The obvious question, which the Gemara is going to ask later on, is that's not questionably kosher. That's 100% kosher. Meaning, I don't need the Mishnah to teach me that halacha. So when we get to the Mishnah, when we get to the Gemara, we're going to see exactly what the chiddush over there was. What was the question over there? Maaser Sheni veHekdesh Niftu. Also Maaser Sheni and Hekdesh. Both you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to benefit from until you redeem them. And we're now describing a person who comes along and says, oh, this is my Maaser Sheni, but or this is my Hekdesh, and I redeemed it. So under those circumstances, good. So now he can join us in our Zimun because he did what he's supposed to do. And again, the Gemara is going to ask the question, I don't need a Mishnah to teach me that. That now is 100% kosher. So again, we wait for the Gemara to explain what exactly the Chiddush was. Hashamash Achol Kezayis. Interesting. The Mishnah now talks about the Shamash. Can the Shamash join us? Well, he's with us, kind of. He's serving us. He's an attendant. Obviously, we're describing a Shamash who's Jewish. So can he also be Mitzar for our Zimun? So the Mishnah says, yes, he can. Why would I have thought otherwise? Again, we're gonna discuss that as we get to the Gemara. So Vakusi Mizamnim Alav. And finally, the last thing mentioned in the Mishnah, which he can join our Zimun, is going to be the Kusi. Right now, obviously, the Mishnah is of the position that a Kusi is a Ger Tzedek, not one of the Ger Arayos, and so therefore he can join us for our Zimun. Okay? So these are all things which you could have thought that they shouldn't be able to join our Zimun, but they can join our Zimun. Okay, and some of those examples in the middle doesn't seem to be a chiddush, and the Gemara is going to explain. However, now we're going to go on the other side of this. Achol tevel, but let's say the guy comes in with his brown paper bag, asked what's for his lunch. He says, oh, for me today? So this is produce that's untithed. It's tevel. I didn't take off Trumas HaMaisos. Not allowed to eat tevel. Eating tevel is an iser d'oraisa. And so over here we're talking about something which is bona fide, not kosher. Not kosher over here because of the chiyuv of hafrash trumas hamaisos, which he did not take off. Or maaser rishon shalom not lo trumaso. Or let's say a maaser rishon where the levi did not take off his trumas maaser. He didn't take off his 10%. Or maaser sheni vehekdesh shalom niftu. Or maaser sheni and hekdesh which was not redeemed. Vashamash achol pachus mikazayis. Or a shamash who eats less than a kazayis. Vanachri, and when it comes to a non-Jew, ein mizamnim alav. In any of these cases, either because the food is kosher, or in the case of the Shamash, because he simply is not eating with us, or in the case of the Nachri, simply because he's not Jewish, in any of these examples, so he cannot make a Zimun for this person. The number of interesting points to make over here, when you're eating non-kosher, do you make a bracha at all? So this, of course, is a classic debate amongst the Rishonim, in terms of whether you can or cannot make a bracha on non-kosher food. Our Mishnah says you can't make a Zimun. Sounds like you can't make a bracha. You can easily make a distinction between the two points. Meaning Zimun means to be mitzarif, to combine together in order to create this new collective benching. But you could say as far as making a bracha is concerned, maybe you do make a bracha. So our Mishnah is a springboard for that discussion. The Mishnah itself doesn't have that discussion point blank like we're asking. The Mishnah is a springboard. But at the same time, however, one can make a distinction. And it is a classic debate amongst the Rishonim. I have a good feeling you probably heard Shira about this topic once or twice before. The another interesting point is Tosfos. Tosfos over here asked the following question. You could see Tosfos Divrei Maschaval Achal Tevel Emazam Nav. He asks Tema the Amar Berach and Akol Mitzarfin Lazim and Kohanim Levim VYisraelim. So the Gemara in Erechin, which we did not so long ago, says that everyone could combine for Zimun. Kohanim Levim VYisraelim. The Gemara asks over there, isn't that obvious? Ubarch Pshita Mishani. The Gemara's answer: Lo Tzricha Afagav De Kohen Ochel Truma VYisrael Chulin. And so over there, what is the Mishnah, what does the Gemara in Erechin describe? The Kohen sitting down with us. And in his brown paper bag, so he has truma, which he totally is allowed to eat. And I'm totally not allowed to eat it. And so now we're sitting down in a meal where he's eating kosher, I'm eating kosher, but I can't eat his food. So can we combine for a zimun? So Alma, Alpha gab de truma sur Yisrael, achrei shakon yachol etzarfim Yisrael lechol bechulim etzarfim lezimun. So over here, what do you see? You see that zimun can be created even though the ability to eat is ability to share is only one directional. Meaning, can the Kohen reach over and eat any of my food? Sure. I'm eating chulin. Can I reach over and eat his food? No, because he's eating truma. And even though now the ability to share is only one directional, that is enough to create a zimun. And so Toso says, so if that's true, so now let's think about what we are describing. A really similar situation, right? V'hachanami. So over here, okay, one person brought to the table tevel. Okay. And so we can't eat what he's eating, but he can eat what we're eating. So isn't that similar? And shouldn't that now create a situation of zimun, much like the case of the Kohen Yisrael? So you could probably already guess the answer. Tosel says it. No, because when it comes to the eating of tevel, we're not even going to call that an achila. That doesn't constitute an achila. But when you're talking about the Kohen eating truma, so not only can he eat the truma, it's a mitzvah for him to eat truma. So he's having an achila that for him is totally legitimate. And so therefore, even though I can't eat what he's eating, but he can eat what he's eating, and he can share with what I'm eating, so that's enough to create a zimun. Mashenke, in the case of the tevel, where it's true he can eat what I'm eating, but I'm not allowed to eat what he's eating, and he's not allowed to eat what he's eating. And that doesn't constitute an achila, and as a result of that, we do not make a zimun. That's the distinction between the cases. Based on this Tosfos goes on. I'm not going to go further in Tosfos, but based on the Tosfos, it's a question which comes up practically speaking. And that is the following. Let's say a couple people are sitting down to have a meal, and two of them are having fleishik, right? They're having a meat sandwich, and the third one is having a milchik sandwich. And so now, can they make zimun together? That's a wonderful question. It happens. There is another technical halacha in terms of how can they eat the same table together, but there are ways for them to eat at the same table together. They are allowed, given that there are certain considerations that are taken. You have the different tablecloths, you put a heker on the table. Anyway, but it's possible that the three of them could be eating on the same table. And now, under those circumstances, can they make a zimun together? Good, they want a bench, and they want to make zimun. Can they make zimun together? So already, this is Tosfos doesn't discuss that case, but seemingly the halacha would be, yes, they could. They can make zimun together. Why? Because the two people eating the meat, they can't eat the milk. So in other words, they can't share with the one eating the milk. What about the one eating the milk? He can take, technically, he can share with the one eating the meat, because the halacha is that when you eat meat, you have to wait before you eat milk. So now the people eating meat can't eat the milk. But if you eat milk, so I know menhagim in terms of waiting a certain amount of time, but according to the ikra halacha, so what you do is you rinse out your mouth, you wash your hands, and then you can eat meat right away. So there's nothing barring you from transitioning from eating milk to meat. And so therefore, so we see that the shearing can be done one directionally, and everyone's eating what they're allowed to eat. So therefore, that would create a situation of zimun. You would be allowed to make a zimun.
And then,
really good. And then, if you think it through further, so who's leading the zimun? Okay, that's a great question. Okay, I'll stop here.
The meat will be the milch guy, no?
It does sound that way. It does sound that way. I'm not sure if you have to say that, but I lean in that direction as well. Okay. Anyway, a lot of good discussion regarding coming out of our Mishnah. Let's go back to the Mishnah. So for women and for slaves and for ketanim, you do not create a zimun for them. We're going to discuss more about that later in the Gemara as well. Ad kama mezamnim. Now, ad kama mezamnim means what? So seemingly what it means is, how much do you have to eat to participate in a zimun? That's what it seems like it's saying. We'll read Rashi in just a moment. Ad kezayis rav Yehuda and ad kabetza. So the Tanakhama says that you must eat a kezayis, and Rav Yehuda says you have to eat the shear of a kebetza. So a debate in terms of how much to eat in order to participate in the zimun. So I use the word participation. That's not the sense you get from Rashi. I'll read the Rashi inside. I'd come and mizamnim, kama yochel imahem, v'yischayiv imahem b'zimon. So how much should you eat with them in order to be chayiv in zimon? But that Rashi doesn't stop. Rashi keeps going. Nafka mina lahotziyam yidei chavasam. So Rashi says that this halacha of there's a minimum requirement to have to eat in order to be mitzarif is for the mizamen, for the one who's making the zimun. Okay, a point which I wasn't clear at the beginning, and I should have said at the beginning, but it's not too late, and that is the following. In terms of zimun, so it's a collective benching, right? That point we established. It's not an individual benching. It's now a collective benching. In terms of how it's done, so we're a little bit out of touch with the Mishnah in terms of how it's done. So back in the day, the way it was done is that one person would bench, the other would listen, they'd answer amen, and that's how it was done. So in other words, there was one person leading the zimun. You're going to hear this again and again in our perek regarding how it looked like. It looked like one person was benching, but it wasn't. In other words, again, if I could use my Shemona Esrei analogy, in other words, for Chazaras Hashatz, so it's not one person davening. In other words, he is the Shliach Tzibur. He's davening for the community. So for zimun, there's one person benching. They're going to be listening. They're going to answer amen. And that's how it's done. So Rashi says over here, now let's go back to the Rashi. Rashi says that we're talking about the mizamen. So for the eating, for the consumption of a kizayis or a kibetza, depending on who you hold like, so now that gives you the right to lead the benching and to be mizamen. Which seemingly now the clear implication of Rashi is that to participate in the zimun, so you don't have to have a kizayis, you don't have to have a kibetza. You can have even less than that. And that's an important discussion, which we're also going to have later in the perek. You don't even have to have bread to participate in the zimun. We're going to come back to that point later on. So it's a really interesting Rashi that the Rashi highlights that our Mishnah is talking about the mezamein, not just the people who are participating for the shear of kezayis and kebetza.
Yeah, but the Mishnah before said a shama shilchal kezayis. It didn't say kebetza, it's a kezayis.
That's a really good point. We're going to come back to that point later. That's an excellent point. Okay, so just as a quick recap of our Mishnah laid out three basic rules. One is that three people eating together make a zimun. That's the foundation of the entire perek. Two, the food has to be that is consumed amongst the three people has to be kosher. Once it's definitively not kosher, they cannot participate in the zimun. They don't count towards the zimun. Either the food not kosher or the person not kosher. Right, and we'll come back to that as well. And then the third point of the Mishnah is, I'm sorry, four. Let me make it 4 points. The third point of the Mishnah is that women of Avadim Ketanim are not participating in the Zimun. Now they are benching, but they're not participating in the Zimun. Again, we're going to discuss that in more detail. And finally, the fourth point of the Mishnah is how much they eat, and the way Rashi understands it, in order to lead in the Zimun. We start with the Gemara Menahani Mila Amar Avasi Amar Kra. Where is the source of this halacha? That three people create a zimun. So we're going to say I have two sources. One, Gadlu Hashem iti nurama shemachtav. So the pasuk in Tehillim, Gadlu Hashem iti. So you have one person speaking to two. We just simply know that by the lashon yachid lashon rabim of the pasuk, right? Iti means with me. Gadlu means he's talking to two other people. Now we don't know it's two, but again, we always work with a conservative form of the plural. So plural is Gadlu, but we always minimize it to two. So it's one person talking to two. And so with the three of them there, and we're going to take Shem Hashem and we're going to elevate it. So that's one. Now, obviously, the pasuk has nothing to do with benching and eating. And so it's true that the drasha over here is not explicit. It's more implicit. But okay, that's one. Rabbi Abawa Amar Mehachi, Ki Shem Hashem Akrav, Godel Elokeinu. So another pasuk here from Devarim, that when I call out Shem Hashem, so Havu. So once again, so you guys, Godel Lelokeinu, ascribe greatness to our God. So once again, you have this, it's the same basic idea. It's one person talking to two. Amar Avchanan Barab, Aminayin La'on Amen Shalo Yagbir Kolo Yosem and Amavarech. When answering Amen, you should not raise your voice greater than the one making the bracha. Now, this seemingly is a non sequitur with what we just learned together, but it's coming from the same pasuk, so it allows the Gemara to transition from the previous halacha to this halacha. So when there's a mavarach and when there's and when the person's answering amen, they should be on the same volume. Shenemar gadol la'Hashem iti nirama shemachdav. So again, it speaks to the idea that you and I, or you guys and I, so we're going to be on the same level, right? Right, I could say it on the same wavelength. So Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi minayin sheinam matargim rashat lagbia kol yosem ben akare. And this relationship also exists with the matargim and the kare. Okay, so back in the day when they would read from the Torah, so they'd read a pasuk, stop. Then you have the Metargim, a person standing right there by the bima, and he's translating to the people what the pasuk was that was just read. The people are speaking Aramaic, the people are not speaking Hebrew so much, and so therefore, so that the masses understand what the Torah is, what the Torah is saying, so there'd be a Koray and a Metargim. Okay, what happened to the Metargim over the years? It's a great question. I don't know. I don't have a good explanation of why we lost the Metargim. I know it would significantly extend Shul on Shabbos morning. I do understand that. Yemenites still do this to this very day. Right? You go to a Taimani Shul, so they'll have a Metargim. But the vast majority of the Jewish people do not have a Metargim nowadays. Anyway, so again, same halacha. Shenamar, the pasuk says, Moshe yidaber v'lokim ya'anenu b'kol. So Moshe speaks and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ya'anenu. Now ya'anenu literally means to respond or to answer. B'kol, in a voice. Shein tamalamra b'kol. What does that mean, in a voice? Ma'al tamalamra b'kol shel Moshe. That what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is he adjusted his own volume. Now again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could speak at any volume, obviously. The idea over here is that he knows where Moshe's volume is going to be. So in anticipation of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu adjusted his volume to match that of Moshe's volume. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe what to tell the Jewish people by Maimed Har Sinai. And Moshe now repeats. And yes, there is a distinction to be made between the first two Dibros and the last eight Dibros. First two Dibros were spoken directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Jewish people. The last eight through Moshe. But again, it's the same idea. That Moshe is going to repeat what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, and they're both operating on the same volume. And again, the only point that the Gemara wants to tell us this is that so that practically speaking, when we have a Balkari and a Metargim, it operates in the same manner. Tanya Namihachi, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, same point. Ein Hametargim, Rishai Lagbia Kolo Yosem and Akare, V'Imeif Shalom Metargim Lagbia Kolo Keneged Akare Yimach Akare Kolo V'Yikra. And so the Gemara says that this requires a little bit of teamwork and a little bit of communication. Let's say Metargim doesn't have a booming voice, and so he only can go to a certain volume. So the Balkari has to realize that, and the Balkari himself now has to adjust his own volume so that he and the Metargim are now operating with the on the same volume level.
They're not saying it simultaneously.
No.
When the Metargim talks, the Koray keeps quiet.
Agreed. Agreed. What difference does it make? So presumably the idea is that you don't want to be given more importance than the other. You don't want people to think that the Metargim is more important. Oh, there's the Balkari and he's whispering, and the Metargim now is booming it out. Oh, the Metargim is. In other words, you want them to be basically operating on the same level. Okay, Itmar the Gemara quotes now the following debate. A big part of today's daf is going to be the following: can we make a Zimun with two? It's a funny question of the Gemara where the Mishnah couldn't have been any clearer. The Mishnah says you make a Zimun with three. Now, all you need to do is just read a simple Mishnah, and you know, three is the threshold. How do you even have a discussion regarding two, whether two can make a Zimun or two cannot make a Zimun? And the answer is going to be obvious as we go through the Gemara, but I'll say it right now. What the Gemara is entertaining is the following. When three people are together, they're going to make a Zimun, and that's a Chiyuv, and that's an obligation. That you see in the Mishnah. Shlosha sha'achlu ka'achas chayavin lezamein. So they're obligated to make a Zimun. What the Gemara now is addressing is that maybe with two, so maybe there's an option. Meaning we don't have to make a Zimun, but maybe there'd be an option to do so. That is what the Gemara is entertaining, the question of Rishus by Shnayim. So, Itmar Shnayim Shach Lukachas Pligi Rav Yochanan, so it's a machlokis amongst the Amoraim. Right now, we don't know who said what. And that's an important detail. It's always an important detail, but here it's an important detail. Because generally speaking, when you have a machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan, we pass like Rav Yochanan over Rav. So over here, it's important to know who takes which position. That's coming up a little bit later in the Gemara. And so here we are now in the debate of whether or not they have an option to make a Zimun. So the Gemara now is going to be challenging. We're going to go, I think, a total of four different challenges based on various Mishnayos and Braisos. And we're going to defend. So tonight we start off with a simple one, and that is our Mishnah. Shlosha sha'achlu ka'achas chayav lezamin. So our Mishnah says three can make a Zimun. Shlosha in, shnayim lo. So hasam chova hacharisha. So the Gemara's answer is, I know I already gave away the answer, but good. In other words, the Mishnah is talking about whether there's an obligation. They're discussing whether there may be an option. It's a rishus. That's different. So Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, consider the following. This is a Mishnah coming up later on in our perek. Well, let's say three people are making Zimun. Now, three people making Zimun, one person starts walking away. Hey, don't go. You can't go. Where are you going? In other words, we have to make a Zimun. Ein Rishayim L'chalek. You can't separate. And Shlosha In, Shnaim Lo. Now, as Rashi points out over here, what's the extra push of this Mishnah? The extra push of the Mishnah seems to be that if that one person goes, we lose Zimun altogether. Now, if two people have the option of making Zimun, so we haven't lost it altogether, meaning we still have a Zimun, don't we? That's the extra push and the extra question coming from this Mishnah, as Rashi explains. So, Shloshein Shlaim Lo, Shani Asim Dekavalem Bechova Mikara. So again, the Gemara says that doesn't tell us anything regarding the number two. Because when three people are now sitting together and they're about to make a Zimun, they're going to make a Zimun Bechova. Even if one left, and even if we're still going to make a Zimun, that's a Zimun of Rishos. Zimun of Chova is better than a Zimun of Rishos. Rashi cites, Gadol Mitzuvah V'yosa Mimishen Mitzuvah V'yosa. Greater is the one who's commanded than the one who's not commanded. If they have an option of making Zimun Bechova, that's a higher level Zimun than the Zimun Bereshus. So we do lose out. Even though one person left, and even though we're two, and even if we're still saying Zimun, we still lose out because we haven't said the Zimun Bechova, we're now only saying it as a Rishus. So it could still very well be that with two there's going to be a Zimun, and still that third person is not allowed to leave. Tashma, the Gemara says, consider the following. Okay, so there's always that awkward relationship with the Shamash because he's attending to us and he's handling all of our food, and can he now take a little bit? So there's that awkward moment where he's looking at them, they're looking back at him, and so the default is he's got to wait for permission. In other words, he's not allowed to take until they give him permission to do so. However, says the Braisa, what if there are only two people eating and he's the third? And now he's attending to them. And obviously we're talking about where he's Jewish. So, under those circumstances, he doesn't have to ask permission. Meaning, because he's now represents the third person of our Zimun, so therefore, the understanding is that he can join us. Because he's now making our Zimun. And again, now the question is pretty evident. Well, the answer also is going to be pretty evident. But the question is pretty evident. Meaning, what do you mean there's no Zimun without him? If two people can make a Zimun, there is Zimun without him. So, and the answer is going to be, it's the same answer, Shani Hasam, we're on the top of Memhamed Beis, Shani Hasam Denichalu Demikvala Bechova. No. The reason why he doesn't have to ask permission, and the reason why he's assumed to be a member of this particular Zimun, is because now it's three, they're making Zimun Bechova. That's a bigger deal than Zimun the Rishus. Again, going back to the Rashi of Gazal Mitzvah V'yoseh, Mimi She'ena Mitzvah V'yoseh. Okay, let's continue. I think this is now our fourth challenge. Tashma, Nashim Mezamnos La'atzman, Avadim Mezamnim La'atzmam. Women, if they're eating together, they're going to make Zimun. Avadim, if they're eating together, they're going to make Zimun. Nashim V'avadim V'ketanim, Imrasu L'zamin, Eim Mezamnim. However, if you have a collection of women, and Avadim, and children, so they are not allowed to make Zimun together, for reasons which we're going to articulate in just a moment. But right now, let's just focus right now on the women. So the Brice opens up with the idea that women make a Zimun. Now, as far as women making a Zimun are concerned, so Vahameya, I'm skipping the parentheses. Vahameya Nashi Kitre Gavi Damian. Now, as far as how to look at a collection of women relative to that of men. So you have a lot of women, so it's like Kitre Gavin Damian. It's like two men. How did the Gemara arrive at this equation? The 100 women is equivalent to two men. So basically it's like this. Meaning we know it's not three, because if it were three, so then the chiv of Zimun would be a bona fide chiv. And so then we'd make no distinctions between men and women. And meanwhile, we know that there's distinctions between men and women. We learn so just on the Braisa. The Braisa says that if Nashim and Avadim and Ketanim are eating together, so then they don't make a Zimun. So we know that they are number, that their three is not three. At the same time, you can't say that the three is one. The three being one, one person doesn't have any idea of Zimun. So if it's not three and it's not one, so we're left with only with one number remaining. So it's like two. So in other words, so right now we're going to say that the equivalency of many women, Gemara uses a number 100, is equivalent to two men. And if that equivalency is correct, which obviously the Gemara is going to push back on, but if that equation is correct, So then we've answered our question. Can two people make a Zimun? Presumably the answer is yes. So the Gemara says, yeah, but here's what the fault of the question was. It has nothing to do with this equation. The equation is not right. Meaning when it comes to Zimun, we're not looking at people who have this bona fide chiyuv. Meaning let's take Minyan, for example. By Minyan, so there it is objective. Meaning men are counted towards a minyan, women are not, they're just simply not counted towards a minyan. Fine. But when it comes to Zimun, it doesn't operate like that. In other words, they're obligated, they're not obligated. When it comes to Zimun, so the way the Gemara describes is Deus. In other words, what you need is just simply people with Das who ate. And once you have that, so they have an obligation to bench. So then, if that's true, so what's three women eating together? That's called now, as far as Zimun is concerned, that's called an obligation. And therefore, they're obligated to make a Zimun. Good. So the Gemara says, oh, that's very good. But the Deika Deus. So Ihachi, the Gemara says, well, if that's true, Ema Seifa. Well, then, why are there scenarios where they're not going to make a Zimun, notably the end of the Braisa? Nashamba Avadim and Rasul Zamin Ein Mizamnin. Well, the end of the Braisa said that women, if they're eating with an Evan, if they're eating with a Vadim, are not going to make a Zimun. Why should that be? If their obligation to make a Zimun is a bona fide obligation, so then of course they should make Zimun. So, Amai Lo, Vaha Ika Deo, Shani Hasim, Mishum Pritzusa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there's another element involved, and that's Pritzus. Meaning, the Chachamim so were opposed to the idea of women eating together with a Vadim. It could lead to extraordinarily inappropriate scenarios. So therefore, the Chachamim said, look, we have the ability, we have the right to take away the Chovas HaZimun simply because we want to discourage that kind of get-together. Right? That's the way Rashi understands it. Good. We're talking about here about an Eved Kanani. Absolutely correct. Eved Ivri is a Jew, for all intents and purposes. Okay, so what do we gain from all this? This is now not going to prove one way or another whether or not two people there is a chiyuv of, or I should say better, there is a rishus of making a zimun. Because even though we've just learned together that three women make a zimun, good three women make a zimun. That's not any kind of lesser obligation. That's just as much of an obligation as that of men. Comes out from the Gemara over here very clearly that women make a zimun if they're eating together. That part's very clear. Where there is a debate is when three women are eating together, so can they make a zimun? Are they obligated to make a zimun? It is not abundantly clear from the Gemara whether or not they are working with the very same obligation. The way I read the Gemara, the way I translated the Gemara, it certainly sounds like their level of obligation is the same as that of a man. In other words, when three men are eating together, they're obligated. It sounds like the women are obligated as well. It also sounds that way from the Gemara in Erchin, but it's a debate amongst the Rishonim whether or not they are bona fide obligated to make a Zimun, or they just simply have the option to do so. Okay, and there's the discussion over here goes on and on, because what if men and women are eating together? Is there a Zimun scenario under those circumstances? Does it matter if the chiv of Zimun is being created by the women as opposed to the men? There is a lot of follow-up questions to ask over here. We're going to go on in the Gemara because we're in the middle of a sugya, and again, objectively, we're here to do the daf. Tistayim derav de amar im rasul zamin ein mizamnein. Okay, so two people make a Zimun, yes or no? It's a debate. Who are debating? Rav and Rav Yochanan. Who says which position? Right now, we don't know. And the Gemara would like to determine who says which position. So let's conclude that Rav is of the opinion that im rasul zamin im mizamnein, that if they want to make a Zimun, they can't. Two cannot make a Zimun, according to Rav. How do I know that? So the Gemara now is going to piece together information. Amar Rav Dimi bar Yosef, Amar Rav Shlosha Shachu Kachas. Let's say three people are eating together. V'yatza echem mehem l'shuk. And now one person starts walking away. And the two guys are looking at each other like, what is he doing? And Korin lo, umezamnen ma'alav. So what you have to do at that point in time is you call him. Now, the simple pshat of the Gemara is that he doesn't necessarily have to come back to the table, although that'd be nice if he did. But the simple pshat of the Gemara is that basically you could stop him so that he can answer to your Zimun, and that's what you should do. Now, time to Korin lo, ha lo, Korin lo, lo. So the Gemara says, now, the deacon seems to be very clear. If that guy got away, we lost our Zimun. And because two can't make a Zimun. That's what it sounds like. So Shani Hasam Dikvale Bechove Mikara. So once again, the Gemara takes out this answer. This Gemara has used this answer now at least three times. Now it's a fourth time. And that is, look, we could still make a Zimun if we're left with two. But again, three people is an obligation. Obligation is better than an optional Zimun. Gadol Mitzuvah V'yoseh, Mimishi Enam Mitzuvah V'yoseh. Okay, so from there, we don't know. El Tessayim Derev Yochanan Udama Imrasel Zamin Eim Zamnin. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's try now piece together that it's Rav Yochanan's of the opinion that if they want to make a Zimun, if two want to make a Zimun, they can't. How do I know that? The Amar Rabba Bar Bachana Amar Rav Yochanan Shaim Shachul Ka'achas, if two people eating together, Echad Mehem Yotze Bebirchus Chavero. So one can be Yotze with the bracha of his friend. Now, V'Havinam Bar, now on that we ask the following question. My Kamashmal and Tanina, Shama V'lo Ana Yatza. Well, what do you mean? If I listen intently and he wants to be motzi me, so that works. That's a Mishnah in Sukkah. So Rav Yochanan is telling us that when two people are eating together, so one can bench for the other. I think we knew that already. So V'amar Rabbi Zera Lamar Shein Birchus Aziman Beinehem. So Rabbi Zera says in explanation of Rav Yochanan, no, you misunderstood. Meaning one person can bench for the other, but don't call that Zimun. Meaning that's not Zimun. That's just simply one person benching for another person. And so fine, but that's not Zimun. Good, good, Tistayim. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we see that according to Rav Yochanan, when two people are eating together, so they are not only not obligated to make a Zimun, they don't have a reshus, they don't even have an option to make a Zimun. Yes, it's true, one can bench for the other, but don't call that a Zimun. Meaning that's just simply one person being mostly somebody else's obligation, which you can do. That's called Shomea Ka'ona. But in terms of Zimun, it's not a Zimun. Rav Yochanan now is on the side, the two are not making a Zimun. So Amalei Rava Bar Rav Huna L'Rav Huna V'Har Rabbanan Dasa Mima Rava. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's put one more piece of information in this discussion. And that is that there was a collection of rabbis coming from Eretz Yisrael. Amrei Imras L'Zamim Zamnin. And they said, you know what we heard in Eretz Yisrael? We heard the two can make a Zimun. That's what we heard in Eretz Yisrael. Now, let's get our geography good. Rav Yochanan lives in Eretz Yisrael. Rav lives in Bavel. And so if they're saying that they heard this in Eretz Yisrael, so presumably they heard it from Rav Yochanan. So my lav d'shamilei m'Rav Yochanan. So isn't that the assumption? And that goes against what we just concluded. So the Gemara says not necessarily. Lo, d'shmiluhu m'Rav mikamit d'nachis abava. Well, we know Rav had a bit of a history. Rav started his career in Eretz Yisrael. He was a student of Rebbe. We just went over that a number of times in the sixth parak. He was a student of Rebbe, a nephew to Rebbe Chia. So Rav started in Eretz Yisrael. And assuming, and presumably also Rav gave Shir in Eretz Yisrael as well. And for whatever reasons, a bit of a mystery, but for whatever reasons, Rav left Eretz Yisrael. He went to Bavel. I don't really mean it's a mystery. It just means I don't know why. But but anyway, he left and he went to Bavel. So anyway, the report coming from Eretz Yisrael that two can't make a Zimun. So that, or I should say better, the report from Eretz Yisrael that two can make a Zimun, that could easily be ascribed to Rav, not Rabbi Yochanan. So, where does the Gemara land on this topic? Gemara now has just concluded the topic. Can two people make a Zimun? It's a machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan. And what it seems to be most reasonable is that Rav Yochanan's of the opinion that two cannot make a Zimun. Rav is of the opinion that two can make a Zimun. And so, therefore, when you have a machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan, we go like Rav Yochanan. And so, two cannot make a Zimun. Okay, and there are a lot of important side discussions that occurred over the Gemara regarding the back and forth and the proofs and the disproofs. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara. We're halfway down on the Amud. On Mem Hamad Beis, Gufa, the Gemara goes back. Amar of Dimi Bar Yosef. Amar of Shosha Shachu Kachas V'yatza Echad Mehem L'Shuk. Karen Lo Mezamnim Alav. So you have three people, and they're eating together, and one starts walking away. So what do we say? So we quoted in the name of Rav that you simply call to him so that he answers. So Amar Abai V'hu Dekari Levani. So Abai says, okay, but that works only if he's in earshot and he responds. Okay. Amar Marzutra V'lo Amar Nela B'Shosha. This idea that he's able to respond as he's walking out, meaning he's going to stop to respond, but this idea that he's going to be able to respond and that we have achieved a Zimun, that works with three people. Aval Basara Adonaisi. But when it comes to 10, and we want to now not only make a Zimun, but use Shem Hashem. Okay, it's an idea which we haven't yet articulated, and it's coming up later in the parak, but we all know this. When 10 people are eating together, so now what we have is not just a Zimun, a super Zimun. Okay, yeah, that's right. And that is the ability now to not only add an extra line/bracha. You'll see later in tomorrow's daf, we're going to be calling that Zeman an extra bracha. That's the wording we're going to use in tomorrow's Gemara, even though we don't say bracha tashem lokeinu machalam. Okay, but nevertheless, that's the Gemara's language tomorrow. So now, if I have 10 people in together, so not only are we going to make Zeman, but we're also going to employ Shem Hashem in doing so. And so, when you have that scenario, so now what do we have? We have 10 people. And one gets up and starts walking away. And he's taking now, he's taking away our super Zeman. So here, what do you need? Not only to call out to him, he's got to come back to the table in order for us to have our super Zeman. So the Gemara, and he's got to sit down. So Maskel Ravashi Adrab Ibcham Mistabra. Now Ravashi says, now if you ask me, I'd say here's what sounds a lot more reasonable. Tisha Nir Kasara, Shnaime Nir Kishosha. Meaning if we have 10 and one walks away, so we got 9. 9 is much closer to 10 than 2 is closer to 3. And so if we got 9 people and the 10th person is kind of on the periphery, but still we're awfully close to 10. If I were to make any distinction, if I would demand that a person has to come back to the table, I would say it much better in the circumstance of 3 than I would in the circumstance of 10. So this is, it's just not, it doesn't sound rational. So the Gemara says, V'hilchus Gemara Zutra. The Gemara says, okay, I'm glad it doesn't sound rational. Okay, but the halacha falls like Gemara Zutra. Now, my time, I came to buy lat kuri shem shemayim basim yasar la varachara. So the Gemara says, because the following consideration it was had by Gemara Zutra. And that is that look, on a fundamental level, so as long as he's somewhere in the room, so he can be counted towards our Zeman. If he's the third person, if he's the 10th person. However, with the 10th person, so now we've achieved the super Zeman where we're going to say Shem Hashem. So here now you have to take the following consideration. We're going to say Shem Hashem. And to say Shem Hashem, it has to be a more appropriate environment. He's got to not only be able to hear us and respond, he's got to come back to the table. The Gemara's language is lav orech ara. It's just simply not appropriate that he's going to be walking away while we are trying to not only say make zimun, but use it with Shem Hashem. It's just pasnish. It's inappropriate for him to be away from the table. Amar Rabbi, the Gemara continues, naktin ishtayim shach lukachas mitzvah lechalek. 2 people who were sitting and eating, mitzvah lechalek. Meaning they shouldn't be benching collectively, and they should be benching individually. Interesting, Rashi over here, Rashi says, this is not just true by benching, it's also true by Berchus Hamotzi as well. Okay. But in other words, this is not a collective scenario, and so every man for themselves, and they should be benching individually. Tanya Me'achi, the Gemara quotes the Brisa as well, Shem Shach Lukach, it's mitzvah lechalek. So when 2 people are eating together, so they are obligated to divide. Ba'med Dvar Mamor, when is that true? Kisha Shneim Sofrim. Now, that's when they can bench each one of them. But if one just simply does not have the capacity, not the education, to be able to bench, so they're fine. So the person now who knows that a bench is going to bench on behalf of the boar. It's not that, in other words, obviously we still have principles of Shomea Ka'ona and Arevus and Kol Yisrael Raven Zebizan, and you have to help other people discharge their obligation. It just, what he meant by that simply is that if they both can bench, then they both should bench. And you shouldn't have one benching for the other because, again, this is not a collective benching. This is not a Zeman benching. And therefore, they should be benching individually. And again, it's clear from the Gemara that in a Zeman scenario, one person's benching for everybody.
There's another case where we have to have a smell. We say the opposite. We shouldn't have everybody do this. We shouldn't have one person do
this. Yeah. Right. Is this opposed to the Rav Am Hadras Melech principle? I got to think about that. Okay, good. I don't know. Okay. Amar Rava. Hamilsa Amrisa Ana. V'itemra Mishmei de Rabbi Zera. Sorry. V'itmara Mishmei de Rabbi Zera Kavasi. So Rava says, look, I said the following, and then I learned later on that Rabbi Zera also said it. Made me happy. I narrated a little bit. But okay. I'm sure he was. Shoshesh Achlu Ka'achas Echem Afsik L'Shnaim. So 3 people are eating together. This happens on a regular basis. And they're not all in agreement when the meal should come to an end. Okay? In other words, everyone's got their own agenda and their own schedule in the day. And so now, one person says, you know what? I want this meal to come to an end. And the other 2 are thinking to themselves, you know, we got more time. All right, don't rush us. We're good. And so now, what is proper protocol over here where, of the 3, so one of them wants to call it quits. Or 2 of them want to call it quits. So who is going to... who's going to dictate the terms of the end of this meal? And the answer, as you could probably have guessed, is we're going to follow the majority. Good. So echa mafsik l'shnayim, ve'ein shnayim mafsik l'echad. So two are going to stop for, sorry, one's going to stop for two, meaning if two are demanding, this is it, we got to go, we got to bench, so then the one has got to end also. Now, does he have to actually end his meal? So let's hold on that question, because that's really going to be explored more in tomorrow's daf. Fine. But two don't have to stop for one. One is pounding on the table. We got to end right now. We got to bench right now. The other two don't have to. If they want to be nice, they can, but they don't have to. In fact, the Gemara now is going to speak to this idea. They're certainly entitled to be nice. So the Gemara says, the Rapapa did in fact stop for Abba Mar Berei Iu V'chad. Even though they were two, they stopped for one. So Shani Rapapa, Dilifni Mishur Sadin Hudav. The Gemara says, fine. You're certainly, if you want to be courteous over here, if you want to extend the courtesy, you're certainly entitled to do so. But you don't have to. Yehuda Bar Mareimar Mar Bar Ravashi V'Ravach Midifta Karchi Rifte B'Hadei Adadei. Gemara finishes off today's daf with the following story. Three people are eating together, breaking bread together. Now, in terms of determining who's going to make the zimun, so we're mechabi with the greatest, right? If there's a kohen in the room, so we give it to the kohen because there's a obligation to be mechabi to kohen. If there's not a kohen in the room, so we should give it to somebody who demands a certain level of respect. Over here, these three that ate together, so they were all on equal footing one with another. And so therefore, they got totally vexed with the question of who's going to lead in the Zimun. And they couldn't come to an answer. So the Gemara says, Hadanan, that which we learned in the Mishnah, Shoshashach l'kachas chayav l'zamin hanimi lehechad di'ika adam gadol. Ava hechad di'chi hadadinin u'chalak berchos adif. So berch inish l'nafshei. And so here was the conclusion that they arrived at. What a curious conclusion. Look, this idea that we're going to make Zimun, that's when one person is clearly greater than the others. But over here, the three of us are all on equal footing with one another. So you know what's better for the three of us to do? We're going to all bench individually and not collectively. That was their conclusion. And they did so. Also, l'kame de Mareimar, amelu yidei bracha yitzasim, yidei Zimun lo yitzasim. So they went to Mareimar, and Mareimar says, good, you know what you get? You get today half credit. Good. So what happened today is that you guys fulfilled benching. That part you got a check for benching, but you didn't get a check for Zimun, and you should have made a Zimun, and you didn't. So v'chitemer nahadar nezamein. So the Gemara says, well, is it too late? Can we make Zimun now? And the answer, it's intuitive, but the Gemara spells it out. Ein Zimun l'mafreya. No, you can't make Zimun now. In other words, you benched. And so Zimun is only going to be at the beginning of benching, but now that you guys benched, so no, you lost your opportunity to make Zimun. Okay. Ba'u masim k'shem avarchim, mahu omer achareihim. So now, you walk in, and you discover that they're benching. What should be your appropriate response? Now, let's assume right now for the Gemara's discussion over here, we'll do this quickly, but let's assume right now that you ate also. And so you're responding not just as a spectator, but you're responding as a participant. Let's assume that. And why I say that is because Tosfos is going to discuss what if you are just simply a spectator to a group of people making Zimun. What do you do then? Okay, so we'll get to that in just a moment. So Rezvid Amar Baruch Mavarach and Rapapa Amar One Amen. So the Gemara says, well, there's a discrepancy of what should be your proper response. Okay, so I'm not going to do this so quickly, but I'll try to be quick about it. Let's just, for a moment, let's break down Zimun. Okay, Rabbi Sina Varech. Okay, Rabbi Sina Varech is just simply a call to attention. Like, let's begin, right? And then everyone says, Yishem Hashem Varech Me'etav Yeralam. Okay, Bereshus Manam Rabbanam Rabbi Sai. Okay, these are all like, kind of like, it's like a preamble to the actual Zimun. Mm-hmm. And then, Nevarech, if we have 10, Elokeinu, Shachana Mishalo. So, and let's leave out the Hashem Hashem. Nevarech Shachana Mishalo. That's Zimun, meaning that's it. If we're going to just distill it, those words, Baruch Shachana Mishalo, is now, that's the Gadlu LaHashem Iti, meaning I'm going to call out so that we can now make a Zimun. So Baruch Shachana Mishalo. And then what does everyone respond? So, right, they repeat. So Baruch Shachana Mishalo Tuvo Chayinu. Okay, and that's it, meaning those two lines are really Zimun, distilled. And so what the Gemara is now asking is that let's say you come back in, you were in the bathroom, whatever the case was, you come back in, and you heard the words, Baruch Shachana Mishalo. So what should you respond? So seemingly in the Gemara, what we have is a debate, whether or not you should repeat the line, or you should just simply answer Amen. But the Gemara points out, it's not a debate. V'lo pligi. Ha'dashkachina deka amrei nevarech, ha'dashkachina deka amrei baruch. So the Gemara says it depends exactly when you walked in at the point of Zimun. If you heard the words Nivarech, so you heard the Mizamein call everybody to now make a Zimun, so then Ashkechinu D'Amrei Nivarech Amr Baruch Mavarech. So then you respond by repeating. And then Ashkechinu D'Amrei Baruch. But if all you heard was the people response and you didn't hear the Mizamein, so then, oh, now Amen. So then you're going to answer Amen. Okay, because the only time it's appropriate to repeat is only when you heard the response.
Is this person required to bless himself?
Now, we're talking here about a person who was a participant, meaning he was actually eating. What if he's just a spectator? So, Tosfos over here writes, third to last Tosfos on the Amud, Razvid Amar Baruch Mavarach U'Bahag Pasak Baruch Mavarach Shemot Tamid Le'olam Va'ed. So, the Bahag, he quotes the Bahag, says as follows, that if, let's say, you are just spectating, so then what should you say? You should say, Baruch Mavarach Shemo Tamid Le'olam Va'ed. Meaning, you heard the word Nivarech. Let's bless the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So you should respond. You should respond. But to give just a repetition of that which the Mizamin said gives the impression that you're eating with them, but you didn't eat with them. So the Bahag has a nusach over here in terms of what you should say in the event that you just happen to be a spectator to other people making a Zimun. And if there's 10 over there, so then you the spectator should say, he goes on. So the Havei Asara, Anibasrayu, Baruch Hu Elokeinu Umevarach Shemo Tamid Le'olam Va'ed. Okay, so that should be the response in the event that you are just simply a spectator to Zimun. Last part of today's daf, Tanicha Da'ona Amen Acher Berchos Avar is a Meshubach. Answering Amen after your own brachas, that's praiseworthy. V'tan Yidech, another brisa says, Hariz Maguna. No, that's not praiseworthy. That's embarrassing. It's disgraceful. Lokasha Haba Boni Yushalayim Haba Shar Brachos. So the Gemara makes the following distinction. If you say Boni Barachim of Yushalayim, so there, I know we're all trained. So there, Amen. Say Amen after that bracha. That's Meshubach, even though you're answering Amen to your own bracha. However, when it comes to other brachas and you make a bracha, you don't answer Amen to your own bracha. You answer Amen to other people's brachas, but not to your own bracha. Okay. Abaye, Ani Le Bekala, Ki Hechad L'Shama Po'alim, Vilikumu. Abaye would make sure that that when he answered Amen to Bonei Barachim of Yerushalayim, so he would answer Amen, and he would do so in a very loud voice. I know earlier this morning we talked about how when you respond Amen, you cannot be louder than the Mevarech. Okay, so I think over here loud just simply means relative, meaning relative to the other option, which is whispering Amen. Well, not necessarily. The Gemara's point is going to be very clear. Ani Le Bekalaki Hechad L'Shama Po'alim V'Lekumu. So why? Because as far as benching is concerned for the workers, benching has now just ended. We're going to learn later in this perek, tomorrow's daf, that workers have an abridged version of benching. Why? Because they're working right now, and they're on the clock, and their time is somebody else's money. So for them, their benching is going to be curtailed. I know I made this point before. Just for a moment, think about, we're talking about a half a minute, maybe even a full minute, for them to go ahead and say the last bracha benching. And for that's a consideration. That's a halachic consideration when they're working for somebody else. Okay, that's real musar. Anyway, so his answering of Amen to Bonim Berachamav was done very loudly so that the workers know. Because the bracha of Atov Meitiv is not a bracha daraisa. Again, that we're going to be discussing later in the perek. Ravashi Anilei Belechisha, and Ravashi, when he would answer Amen, he would do so quietly. Because you answer Amen, Bekol Kocho, really loud, after Bonei Barachim of Yerushalayim, so people are going to walk away with the conclusion that, you know what, everything else afterwards, And so he answered Amen, because that's appropriate, but he did so in a quiet voice. Okay, let's understand this a little bit better. You're answering Amen after your own bracha when? When it's Bonei Barachim of Yerushalayim. Why? Why are you answering Amen afterwards? So the simplest answer could be, well, because we're going to learn together that the next bracha is not part of benching proper. It's an addendum that was added later on. That's true. And that could be the reason why. But Rashi over here writes something super interesting. And that is, but that's not it. Why are you answering Amen after Bona Barachim of Yerushalayim? Because it's ending a series of brachas. And when you end a series of brachas, in order to punctuate that this is the last of the brachas, you answer Amen. Rashi writes, She sofa brachos, harizim meshubach, vechem isof brachos to kriyashma, shachris va'arvis, v'achar kach birchosav, diktani bebraisa, harizim meshubach, achar gemar, kol birchosav kamar, v'achar kol birchosav, diktani harizim meguna, v'sof kol brachu bracha kamar. Meaning, if you're answering Amen after each bracha, meguna, that's disgraceful. That you're not supposed to do. But after a series of brachas, so then of course answer Amen, because that's appropriate, in order to indicate that this is the end of the series of brachas. That's Rashi's explanation. Based on Rashi's explanation, what happens now is that every time there's a series of brachas that are said, and Shemona Esrei is a series of brachas, benching is a series of brachas, so what we call in halacha brachas mechula chaverta. So, and actually that's coming up in tomorrow's daf. So under those circumstances, so one is supposed to answer Amen after the end of the series of brachas. Now, for the Sfarim in the room, so everything I just said, you're like, yeah, that's exactly what we do. And in fact, that's exactly what the Sfarim do, right? After Yishtabach, right? You're davened by the Sfarim. So they write Yishtabach is the end of a series, right? Baruch Shamar is bracha number one. I know there's Pesukat Zimmer in the middle. And then Yishtabach is the end of a series. So what do they do after Yishtabach? They answer Amen. It's based on our Rashi. That's what Rashi says. And and anytime they end a series, they answer Amen. The tricky part, by the way, is between the Gaal Yisrael of Shacharis and Shemona Esrei, because you have to be Samach Gula L'Tfila. Okay, that's the tricky part. But in other words, but you answer Amen. What about us Ashkenazim? So funny. Us Ashkenazim, we don't answer Amen after a series of brachas, except for Bona Berachim of Yerushalayim. And that's Tosfos. Tosfos right over here. He writes, Perish Rabbein Nechanan of Alachas Gedolos, So good. So he quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel. He quotes Halachas Gedolos, exactly what I just said. And I said it. Rashi said it. But mihu poke my chazi am a devar. But Tosfos says, look, go out and see what people are doing. Right? That was how we ended the sixth parak. Remember? Go out and see what the people are doing. And that is shelo nagula nos amen ela acher boni Yerushalayim debirchas amazon. We answer Amen only after the boni berachim of Yerushalayim. That's the only time we answer Amen for a series of brachas. Why? Okay, I wish I could give you more in terms of why the Ashkenazim have taken this halacha and limited it only to benching. I don't know why. But in other words, but as far as Rashi is concerned, and Tosfos quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel on the halachas gedolos, so it's always after a series of brachas, at the end of the series, you answer Amen. Okay, let's just quickly recap. We introduced ourselves to benching, the seventh parak of the Masechta. We spoke out the halachas of three people make a zimun. The food has to be eaten. It has to be kosher food. Questionably kosher. You can be mitzvah for the Zimun. That's all going to be explained in much greater detail. Not even tomorrow. Come back 2 days from now. The Shamash can participate in the Zimun. Women and Avadim Katanim. So you don't make a Zimun with them. How much do you have to eat to make a Zimun? So it's a machlokas, either kezayis or kebetza. And the way Rashi understood that, to lead in the Zimun. Sources of Zimun was the Amud Aleph. And then the big topic of discussion in today's daf is two people. Can two people make a zimun? From a chiyuv standpoint, not open for discussion. From a chiyuv standpoint, two people cannot make a zimun. But do they have a rishus to do so? And so that was the main part of today's daf. Machlokas Rav and Rav Yochanan. Conclusion, Rav Yochanan says no, Rav says yes. We pass like Rav Yochanan, two people cannot make a zimun. Then the Gemara discussed a couple of, quote-unquote, smaller points regarding zimun. Or somebody's walking out. Can we still make a zimun with that person? For three, just call out to him and he'll answer. For 10, he's got to come back to the table. Why should that be? Lavarachara. We discussed this morning what is proper etiquette and protocol if one person wants to stop and bench. Two people want to stop and bench. So who's going to dictate? The answer is two. Two people are going to dictate, not the one person. And then finally, the last topic of our discussion was, if we can't determine who's going to lead in the Zimun, should each one bench for themselves? So a collective group of Amorim thought, yeah, that's preferable. And they were taught, no, that's not preferable. In other words, you'll figure out who's going to lead in the Zimun, but if you have three, you always have to make a Zimun. It's a collective benching. It's qualitatively better. So there should always be a Zimun that's made. And what should be the proper response when you hear the words Baruch Nivarech Shachan Mishalau? So if you're there and you're participating, so we know what the proper response is. It's in the venture. What if you're just walking in? What should be the proper response? So if you hear the word nevarech, so you should respond with baruch. Exactly what the nusach is, we saw in Tosfos. If you just heard the people responding, then answer amen. And then finally, answering amen to your own bracha, it's meshubach, it's maguna, it depends. If it's the end of a series of brachas, meshubach. If it's after every bracha, maguna.